This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-S.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck was on it?
Bismarck.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
And I meant every word I said when I said that I love you. I meant that I love you forever. And I'm gonna keep on loving you. Cause it's the only thing I wanna do.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. Coming at you live here on this Monday evening, a brisk, chilly Monday evening here in the Northeast. And it's time for another great Place to Be podcast live watch. Scott Criscola, ever since the network launched, we've been pumping these things out. Started as a experiment with Raw in 1993, then we expanded to SmackDowns 1999, and now we kick off WCW Monday Nitro. How are you doing tonight?
I am well, JR. Always a pleasure, my friend. Welcome, Place to Be Nation, to episode 334. And, you know, I feel like you and I should be wearing the t-shirts that say $9.99 on them, because I feel like we're the biggest proponents in pumping it up and making sure that that everybody enjoys the network. And we do our best to do that for you. So, and, of course, when the movies start popping in, it make life easier for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And start bringing in I look back to that when we did Beyond the Mat. Everybody had their Xboxes on and everybody's connection was slow. And
that's right.
So be very different now. But entering a new territory tonight.
Mm-hmm. How was your weekend?
It was very good. It was busy. The weather was nice. Pretty relaxing. And looking forward to the weather getting slightly cooler. How about you?
Yeah, same. Had a good wrapped up the beach house stuff, and then Sunday was at Boneheads all day for football. Wanted to smash my head through the table after the Jets game.
Oh, God.
Left very angry.
We were talking about it on the Extra Point, and the double-edged sword of, you know, Marty Morningwig should know not to call timeout.
Well, yeah. It's tough because, you know, it's obviously, if he missed the pass, everyone would be saying,
nobody cares. So
it's like one of those ones where the guy misses the field goal and they call the timeout. Of course, it's the Jets and it looks stupid, but maybe he just thought it was the wrong play at the time. And it was, I mean, it was a hell of a catch.
Mm. And I don't agree that there's no way that the Packers begged off on that play. They definitely went full out. That was a hell of a catch by Curley. And I don't agree with that at all. I think it was just a mistake and, you know, you move on. Back in primetime next week.
All right. again.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, we're doing Monday Nitro. We're doing the 9-4 and 9-11-95 episodes. We're going to call them 1 and 2, but they're like, what, 71 and 72?
79 and 80 for some bizarre reason.
WCW's, I guess they had some drunk back there. But all right, why don't we bring in our special panel here?
Yes.
And we'll bring them in one at a time, and then we'll dive into these two episodes if you guys want to, of course, start getting your shows fired up and you can follow along. So, let's bring in the veteran of the live watch game. I think he's been with us for pretty much everything, and he drops everything in his life to do these. When I offered him a spot on this one again, he said yes. He will cancel every plan in his book, and that is Steve Willey. Steve, how are you?
My book is very empty, so it's not that big of a deal.
Always.
And I've been waiting since Halloween, I believe, to say this. Guys, let's talk the thicks.
Yes.
Trending stories.
The Halloween's coming up. Scott and I have been batting around some ideas. So
yes, it's going to be fun.
Let you guys in on them. All right, next up, let's bring in the Ray Rice of Place to Be Nation. Jerry Rice, the Jerry Rice. And, of course, the greatest podcast partner of all time, that is Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how are you?
You know, I think I'd rather be, Jerry Seinfeld? I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, it's really hard to stay quiet sometimes before you get introduced. And you guys started talking about Marty Morningweg. I'm a Lions fan, and he used to be our head coach.
Oh, yeah. Now you know why he's not.
Yeah. Well, I know why he's not, because they had an overtime game against, I think, Chicago, and they won the coin toss in overtime, and he decided to defend.
You got to take the win, babe.
Yeah, he had to take the win.
Was it in the dome?
Yeah. Did he forget the ceiling was closed?
It probably was.
It was funny because I was praising his offensive coordinator skills during the game, and then he does that to me, stabs me in the back. But one man who will never stab us in the back, and he was the hit of the St. Mary's party this year. It's great to finally meet him at Purvis. Person, we've known him for a long time. That is the great Mr. Glenn Butler. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm all right. And speaking of Halloween coming up, I prefer to be spooky all year round.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Woo! Is that the killer tofu from Dog? How's that for a reference? All right. Most mid-90s right there. So speaking of most mid-90s, we're going to have multiple categories, as we always do if you listen to our previous live watches. So the things we'll be keeping tabs on are the most mid-90s person of the show, the match of the night, which we will be tracking week to week for Nitros. So it'll be building kind of, I guess, best match of the show. So we'll rank them as we move along. Also, most random appearance. As you know, Nitro is known for random jobbers and jobber to the stars kind of guys coming in and out on these episodes, so we'll track that. And most WCW moment. So, of course, the one thing you would associate, good or bad, with this just being WCW. So, won't always be negative. I think there'll be some good ones in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, so everyone, we are lined up at zeros across the board. We have a black on our screen, so I'm going to count us in. If you're following along, now's the time to get your remote control ready. This is episode from September 4th, 1995. Is everybody ready on the show?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1. And we fade up with our iconic opening animation right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Hogan on the building. The memorable theme.
Hogan on the building.
No. Vader on the building.
That's the wall. Oh no, wait, that's a few years down the road. I think. The wall was on top of a building.
This is always my favorite opens because they just like refuse to ever change or update it ever, no matter what.
Hogan was red and yellow till like 2000.
I feel like Vader's on there forever.
We are live at the Mall of America. Look at the size of that mofo. That is a big mall.
So this
I've
is
been
my
there before.
Yeah, is it cool?
Yeah, it's overwhelming. It's gigantic.
Is it really? Yeah. How many floors is it? 5.
That sounds about right. I don't really remember.
5. Yeah.
So I want to nominate two things off the bat. The fact that this show
mid 90s?
No. The fact that this show is taking place in a mall to me is most WCW.
Yeah.
Secondly, the fact that the show is taking place in a mall is most mid 90s to me. A mall. That screams 90s, right? I feel like malls are still great, but it's not the malls of the 90s where it was at. You know, Mall Rats came out around this time.
Mm-hmm. And there's Bobby the Brain joining Mongo.
That guy's mullet and mustache combo is also up there. For
I think that's Lee. I think that's Lee Marshall.
Lee Marshall.
There's a kid with no shirt on right behind Bobby Heenan, like being held up. He's just shirtless.
And look at that
at a mall.
And fat Weird Al behind Bobby right there.
Who's that random weird guy between Mongo and Bischoff? It's like, hi.
Great
I'm
crowd
here.
So far. Off the bat, awesome crowd here in Minnesota.
Look at that.
They're just waiting to get into Shoe Carnival.
He's also pretty 90s with the big glasses.
Oh, yes.
That guy looks like Neil Patrick Harris right there.
It's an interesting crew here. So, yes, on commentary, oh, Eric Bischoff, Bobby Destain, Heenan, and Mongo, Steve McMichael, who had been actually working with Dirty F in early 95, was at WrestleMania 11, and he was actually supposed to stick around there and train to become a wrestler, but he ended up getting an offer from Bischoff to jump over to WCW.
There we are. Glad that person in the background has a WCW sign, just so we know where we are.
Exactly. Yeah, the Great Train Store, and there is Jushin Thunder Liger. Did they get rid of the Thunder at this point? Mid-90s. Service merchandise.
Service merchandise. Yes. I was just going to say, that might be our mid-90s moment. Service merchandise.
Oh, the thunder is still there.
Yep, there it is.
Liger was big in WCW in the early 90s. He was mm-hmm. former light heavyweight champion. I've been watching him on those clashes and pay-per-views.
Now, he hadn't been around, right, at this point in WCW? I think he came in for the show.
I remember our 90s.
He was on Starrcade this year as well when they had the WCW versus New Japan, was the theme of Starrcade, but I don't...
But, JR, we watched all those 94s with Will. I don't remember him on any of those either.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he was gone from 92 till about here. Rekindling his feud with Pillman. Yes, Steve.
My cousin from Minneapolis, Wildcat Willie, was giving Brian Pillman a high five. And that's a very WCW thing.
Yes, it is. Best random appearance, Wildcat Willie, the jobber to the mall. Is that Pastamania right there on the right there with the red and yellow lighting? I don't think so.
No, I think that was up on the 15th floor.
The 15th floor with all in the mega food court. Speaking of early 90s, these two had a tremendous feud.
Yeah.
They had a great match at Super Brawl 2.
Yep.
Where Pillman beat Liger. Liger had beaten him in late 91 for the light heavyweight title after Pillman had won the tournament. And Liger stuck around for almost a 92. I'm up to the clash right before Starrcade, and he's been around for a good amount of it. So
right away, you kind of see the difference between this and how Raw started. They come right out the gates with a pretty big match, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whereas you watch those Raw rewatches and it's just squash after squash after squash.
Yeah, this might be our match of the night for a long time to come.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, in fairness, Raw started off with big matches for them. I felt like Yoko and Coco. I mean, that was the big name, I guess, at the time.
Yoko and Coco. Well, they did have Flair and Perfect pretty early on.
Wow, there's a huge fat guy right in the second or third row that kind of looks like Rob Bartlett if he let himself go.
I saw that too.
Huge handlebar. We may add another category: best handlebar mustache.
I think we might need
best Fu Manchu.
I think best fan is. WCW shows the crowd a lot, so I'm thinking. Big botch there.
Yeah, that was not good.
Most eclectic fan. Maybe we go with that.
Sure.
The key thing is, what jersey's that guy got on in the front row? That's a key. We have to see what that is. Must be a foul. No, I was going to say foul.
Steve, you mentioned this could be our best match for a while, but we have to remember that Glenn is voting, and Hulk Hogan has matches on Nitro a lot.
Yes.
So there's going to be one vote for the Hulkster almost every week, right, Glenn?
Well, that's something that I had considered. I can't personally defend anything that WCW did pretty much ever. I mean, we'll see here. I will try to be fair. But I know there's at least about a year of Face Hulk when we start this, right?
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to see, you know, how much Hulkamania was still going strong.
And for those of you not familiar with Glenn's tastes, I refer you to his votes in the Undertaker WrestleMania match list. That should give you all you need to know.
Well, there wasn't any place in the Undertaker list for my Hogan supremacy.
That's true.
But that's okay. I love the shot of the people going up on the escalator watching wrestling.
Yeah. They're just thinking, like, what is this nonsense? So,
yeah.
Really nice. Is that a surfboard or a bow and arrow? I always get that one confused. That's a surfboard, right?
Okay. Surfboard.
Yeah. Well executed.
That's okay, Glenn, because by like mid-97, there won't be many Hogan matches to vote for because he doesn't wrestle a lot for the next 3 years on free TV.
I've only seen like a smattering of Nitros. I watched a few when I had 24/7 back in the day, and they were all from like the summer of 97, I think, because all the Raws were with Undertaker as champion. And I watched like two or three Nitros in a row, and they didn't have the champion, and they didn't mention who the champion was. And I was curious, like, what the hell is going on? And so I looked it up, and it was Hogan.
Right.
Of course. So
now we should specify, because I don't think we mentioned, now, Glenn, you haven't seen pretty much little to none of WCW, right?
Like I said, I've seen like a very small selection of Nitros. I watched like the best of Nitro, the first set they did, mm-hmm. but very little WCW.
Okay.
Yeah.
This Ooh. Match is pretty sloppy.
Yeah, I feel like they were so amped up and they were really trying to deliver a classic here out of the gate.
You know,
I also like that there's a flag store there. Like, I need a flag. Let's go to the Mall of America.
We're not going to top this mall for most mid-90s. I mean, that's just the mall is just it.
You know, it's funny watching this match, and we just saw another botch move a few moments ago. WWF was very leery about doing that whole suplex over the rope to the floor move. But again, I've been watching, you know, pretty much all the pay-per-views and clashes through mid to late 92. And I just saw it again. WCW, they did it a lot, suplexing guys out to the floor mm-hmm. over the ropes, which is not a very safe move whatsoever. But they used to do it a lot, particularly in Liger matches. He must have done it a lot in Japan.
And don't forget, too, the thing, this match probably a little bit sloppier than the normal stuff. Pillman's bigger now than he was back in their matches in the early 90s. And he's still a good flyer. He had some good matches around this time. Fall Brawl 95 would be right after this. And I think that's the show where he fights Johnny B. Badd in the opener. And it's an awesome match. One of his last
really
kind of
match. It's almost like a half hour long.
Yeah, and it's one of his last matches, I think, as a pure face before he starts to turn. And I love that match. And so he could still work. He could still fly. But he was definitely a little bit bulkier. And even Liger looks a little bit bigger here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nick Patrick, your referee. Yeah. Always best mullet.
Always in the running.
Always in the running.
Definitely like
so many mullets we're going to have here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's tough to do best mullet. There'll be like 80 per
all,
show.
So. All. Every
yeah, show. All. Women, too.
And just a crisper, more well-lit, exciting, liver feel than Raw had going on at this point. Raw had been coming from a lot of dingy arenas. I mean, we're not up to the 95s in our live watch, but if you read along with our buddy Scott Keith on his blog, he's been doing all the 95s and just some of the depressing joints they came from and canned episodes, three or four taped in one night. And you also need to flip over to this, and it seems so refreshed and alive and just there, you know, more than just the kind of canned feel that Raw had going on.
That's why I think it's pretty smart they put Liger in the very first match ever, because just looking at him, you know, he's got a very distinct look. And, of course, he's going to do some crazy stuff, too, for anyone who does tune in just because of seeing what this guy looks like. So,
imagine just going to, like, Piercing Pagoda at this time. And then you see pretzels. Like a guy like the Bacardi rum guy in the ring against
What are all these people doing here? I'm just trying to get to Radio Shack.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to buy a T-shirt at Hot Topic, Daddy. What are these guys doing here in the ring?
Why aren't you working, Daddy? You don't even have money to buy me anything at Spencer's Gaps. Where are the fart pills?
I wish they did more of a tour of the mall.
Look at their lights showing the WCW logo like on the side of the wall because they can't hang banners.
Yeah. Hey, we have a winner. All right.
Brian Pillman was our first intro. So I guess by default, best match. But Willie, did you feel it lived up to the legend? I feel like it didn't really.
I don't think it did.
I think I've seen this. I saw the episode when it debuted, and I feel like this was on a comp. Maybe it was Best of the Nitro comp.
I think it was on Pillman's DVD, too.
Yeah, that might have been it. Yeah, it was a little sloppy. And I was thinking during the match, too, that Liger was just in the United States this year. You know, this is, you know, nearly 20 years later.
Yeah.
And he's pushing 60 right now. Still doing some of these moves. Not well, but still doing some of these moves.
So a nice little show of respect. They shake hands and hug, and Pillman gets to win. You surprised they put Pillman over? I mean, I guess Liger wasn't really sticking around the Great Train Store there, but he always kind of surprises me when Pillman beats him.
Yeah, I don't know if Liger was sticking around either. This might have been a one shot to.
I mean, good win, a big win for Pillman, win the first ever Nitro match against Liger. Definitely not a given. That is one hell of an escalator.
There's the Stinger.
Is he outside?
Yeah, he's helping park.
When did Mallrats come out? It was right around this, wasn't it, 95?
Yeah, it was in 95. I don't remember what time of year.
It had to, right, because Clerks came out in 94, and that was before that, right?
Yeah. It was released October 20th, 95, so right after this. So malls were big in 95.
That's right. What's that sticks? I'm trying to figure out what that store is. Man, service merchandise. So 90s.
Kids
so
are us. There you go.
Kids are us. Wow.
Kids are us.
I feel like kids know malls now, and obviously you go there and it's still kids everywhere, but they don't know like the malls that we knew. It was the 90s were just a time of malls, and it was great. So speaking of 90s again, Eric Bischoff and his blue windbreaker. Mm-hmm. Standing outside Pasta Mania. Hulk Hogan's little kiosk restaurant here in the mall. So now, was this an actual restaurant, or is it like in the food court?
This is a food court restaurant. I've spent many times in the malls of my day, and this is a food court for sure.
So do they have it like chained off. It looks like it's fenced off probably so other people could see that fence like behind Hogan on the right.
Oh yeah.
So Hogan putting over Pasta Mania. How long did this adventure last? A couple months, probably. I mean, was it vacated and desolate within weeks?
No, because it wasn't a real place.
It's a great American cookie company right now.
Mrs. Fields.
Looks like there's a TV, too, which is rare for a food court stand.
Well, it is where the big boys eat, right?
It is. That's true. Big boys
based
need
off of
TV.
How it looks and stuff, I'm gonna guess it's a Sparrow's now. just looking at the menu shape and things like that, and the TV. That's my guess.
The TV and it looks like a wall though on that side. I feel like it's like maybe it's almost like, you know how there's that, like that mini where it's not part of the food court, but it kind of goes in just a little bit.
It's yeah,
like indented a little bit.
And half the seating is in the food court, and half's not.
Yeah. A lot of white people here. Mm.
Minnesota, baby.
Yeah, the Mall of America in Minnesota.
I call it the Great White North for nothing.
Here we go. Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania was a restaurant in the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, created and financed by Hogan. It opened on Labor Day weekend of 95. So it opened that weekend.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And promoted on the live show Nitro, which actually premiered that September. The restaurant, which remained in operation for less than a year, featured such dishes as Hulk U's and Hulkaroos. There you go.
By the way, Scott,
now,
what I was saying.
My canned Hulkaroos, I ask you.
Hulkaroos.
What was that, JD?
I was saying that's a Wicks and Sticks. That's a candle shop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wicks and Sticks. Oh, where the Sticks was? Okay.
Yep.
I guess Yankee Candle didn't get out that far.
Oh, it did eventually, and the poor owner of Wicks and Sticks was driven out of business.
Yes, driven out with the evil Pasta Mania.
Yeah.
Yankee Candle came around and drove him out.
Hogan claimed that the George Foreman grill was originally offered to him, but he failed to respond in time, and Foreman endorsed it instead.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that story.
So instead, Hogan endorsed a blender called the Thunder Mixer.
Something tells you the Foreman grill probably wouldn't have taken off with Hogan. I don't know why. It just feels like it would have
The Hogan grill. So, of course, as you see, Sting is your United States heavyweight champion.
Yeah, for
belt always
Flair.
Given to him. Was
pretty big match in the middle of the show here.
Mm-hmm. Sting with a backwards N on that sign.
Really trying to make a statement.
Yeah.
I know how we'll make the sign stand out. Backwards N.
Well, that's a 90s thing too, right?
Backwards N's, yes.
Backwards N's, yep.
Sting with the purple on tonight.
Yes.
And Flair with the yellow.
Yep.
Just seeing Sting blonde seems so...
Mid-90s.
So different. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at really that outfit does. On the ring girl. That's mid-90s too. She got the white scrunchie in her. Oh, and speaking of mid-90s, the total package, Lex Luger comes out of the Great Train store. I love it also if he had a bag, like he was a shopping.
I have come to claim the title of Mullet of the Night.
Bischoff's acting is terrible here.
What's he doing here?
What the hell is he
doing
here?
Why do you think they did
here?
This now instead of at the end?
Well,
somebody
he does. He comes back at the end.
Well, I know he comes back at the end, but obviously during the. But why does he come? Why do you think he came out here instead of?
Well, it's like, better here because right, you get people calling. I know I was like freaking out at the time.
That's true.
This. Yeah. Because if you remember, we haven't talked about this, but Raw was not on this night. They were preempted for the for tennis.
US Open. Yep.
So they had this all to themselves for this night, and I remember watching and being very upset that Luger had jumped ship, being a WWF loyalist at the time.
I like the purple on Sting. It's a good color.
Now here's what I wonder. Since these guys are clearly coming just from the hallways, what store do you think was the dressing room that night?
All right, here's a deal. Sting, you go to behind the
Wetzel's. I think Ladies Foot Locker was the dressing room.
Or Filene's.
I really think they missed out by not making like Luger was a shopping and happened to notice the ring and he showed up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say that. You know, with Bischoff's, you know, awful acting, Bobby Heenan, you know, Bischoff is asking, you know, why is he doing here? What the hell is he doing here? What right does he have to be here? And Heenan goes, what? It's a public mall. He's got to be
here. He just had to come by and pick up a wire to hook up his VCR to his stereo. So typical Sting Flair stuff here. Sting with the press slams. And I should take a minute to note as well, the written companion to these shows, Josephini, a new writer at the site, is doing written reviews and more than just review, not really doing full by-play. He's doing a lot of kind of a more opinion and noted commentary, different stuff like that. So They're very good reviews. You can read them in Companion along with these shows as well.
Mm-hmm. This is a really nice dropkick from Sting, actually.
Mm.
Got some elevation on that.
It's always cool when you have two guys that have wrestled each other so many times that they have
the arsenal.
Right. Well, or they can put on a quick best hits for a show like this. Like, oh, wait, we need to have a title match. Yeah. They can go 40 minutes, 30 minutes and draw out the emotion. Oh, hey, 10 minutes on this important show. Okay, we'll just hit all our best spots, and you know, we know how to work a quick match like this. And it works. It always pops.
Boy, that dude with the pink shirt in the background is huge compared to everybody else.
Where's he at?
Standing out. Opposite camera side. There's a really tall guy. When they go to this shot, when they whip him, honestly, they don't show. When they go to the other end of the on the other side of the ring, you'll see him about six or seven rows back behind the ring. Just, looks like he's about 6'8", and he's got this jacket and he's got this bright pink shirt on.
Ooh, yeah, I see him.
What store is that? Oh, I'm trying to figure out all these. Is that the Cameroon flag that was in the window there? or Trinidad and Tobago?
There is the Claire's. I see the Claire's.
Mark Claire's?
Mark Claire's.
No, he's up at Ruby Tuesdays.
You just walk in and it just stinks of booze. Claire's.
Yeah. Pierces your ears, gives you a whiskey, and spouts some libertarian.
He just sells empty bottles.
Empty bottles and empty promises.
I was wrong. Yeah. I was just kidding, but that is a guy. That guy is wearing a Falcons jersey.
There you go.
Looks like it's Andre Bison.
Oakland Athletics jersey, too.
Oh, there we go.
This guy is just, this is my fan of the night so far, is that mullet. I mean, we had some good ones. We had Fat Weird Al, but this guy with the mullet and the stash is.
Fat Weird Al.
Wow, really nice there. So Flair charges, and Sting just clean picks him up at a press slam and then dumps him into the ring.
Almost dumped him in the first row. Accidentally.
I think that is an Andre Bad Moon Rising jersey. I was kidding. I'm like, oh, it's a Falcon. I forgot they're not in Atlanta. And I'm thinking, oh, that's stupid. It's probably a Vikings, but it was a Falcons jersey.
Sting just completely dominating this match.
Mm. Yeah, yes.
Now, this might be my.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This might be my bias showing again, but having a guy with Sting's look and Sting's build doing all these like big power spots seems a little strange to me when Hogan's in the company.
Mm.
Like, sure, he's strong and he's muscled and he's built, but he just. With Hogan there, he looks smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think, is he mainly the Flair matches that he did a lot of these kind of more power spots? Because I think that's just the style they worked. I feel like in most matches, Sting wrestled more of a, I don't say aerial, but.
Almost like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Power, yeah, but athletic.
Really?
Because he did the splash and, yeah.
Like, the press slams weren't a huge part of his arsenal. Against Flair, he always does them. Like, it's supposed to be like, what, the eighth of the match so far, but.
Yeah.
I'd say
the big difference between Sting and Hogan is Hogan's was always kind of booked as the stronger guy, whereas Sting sometimes, like against Vader especially, Sting would be weaker, you know?
Right.
Mm. So. Yeah.
I mean, he literally has just done all press slams in this match. I think
yeah,
it's been
right.
His only offense.
Ooh, look at that Nike jacket.
That's pretty
bad. Double A.
Yeah.
In the pants
I just
of
got
match.
This at Foot Locker, bitch.
So now, was Arn the face or the heel in this feud? I always forget. Flair was the face, right?
He was the face. No, Arn was the face.
Arn was. Okay. And that was a good match at Fall Brawl as well.
Oh, it was a tremendous very match good Fall Brawl. Yeah, huge, very good match at Fall Brawl. No, Arn was definitely the face. Because the whole storyline was that Arn was tired of being like, having to bail him out all the time. It's one thing to protect him, it's another thing to bail him out and that kind of thing. And Flair treated him like dirt.
Second time, Sting is totally no-sold something.
Now, is it just me? Is this like pace of this match really frenetic? The same with the last one, too.
Yeah, they're going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are going bonkers. Well, they realize they only have an hour, and there's, you know, they got the main event, the big match at the end. So, I'm trying to think what place that red sign is right there. Looks like Burger King, maybe.
How's Mongo been, Willie?
That's with the frenetic pace of the show and listening to you guys and like all the people and the sign, the fluorescent signs. It's hard to grab onto what's going on a lot. He broke out the stain within the first segment.
Yes, his right Bobby dates rain. Are
he was
pretty weak.
So he was so proud of himself.
I'll tell you what, Bobby Disdain. It ain't apropos or nothing.
That got tired so quick, though.
Yeah.
The Bobby Diggs. They became so unoriginal. And
oh, they were unoriginal for the first one he said it. I mean, there was zero originality. So again, Flair just got a little glimmer of offense, but Sting just really dominating this one. I mean, this is really just a showcase, right? They did it correctly. They said, okay, mm-hmm. we may have a lot of guys that don't know, a lot of fans don't know about WCW. It's no Ron. They may stumble across. Let's put our big names and let our, you know, put over our big guys and advance a couple of feuds. But I think they've started well in that regard. I mean, like Steve said, you start off with a really good match on paper, Pillman and Liger. Liger stands out from anything on Raw. Then you have your A1 babyface against your number one heel. Number two heel probably at this point. You have Luger come out early enough in the show to make it count, so people may be calling and saying, oh, shit, this show's legit. And then we have, of course, the top guy coming out last. So I thought they really structured the
title match, too.
Right, yep.
Is this a title match? Did they announce? Is this for the U.S. title, or...?
They did not announce
that. WCW was weird. They wouldn't always announce it, but generally anytime a champion was in a match, unless they said non-title, it was for the title. I learned that when I was
reviewing.
Unless
it was the main event of Starrcade with Roddy Piper.
Yes.
I remember when I was reviewing the 97, I did the whole season of Nitros for the old message board, and they, like, every time a champion was in a match, it was a title match, even if they didn't say it. Because they would just, like, talk about it in commentary, how this guy was fighting for the title, so...
Does anybody remember shopping at Service Merchandise? Total nonsense.
Oh, yeah. There was a Service Merchandise in my hometown. I knew people that worked at Service
what
Merchandise.
What did they have? I never went there. What was it?
It was like Sears.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like Sears. Jewelry, Sears, clothes, bourbon, a little bit, sports department. Yeah. Incidentally, I didn't realize how long they lasted. You know when they closed? 2004.
I didn't realize there was one. I don't ever remember going to one.
Yeah, there was one definitely. Big. Yeah.
We had one that was actually not a part of the mall, but across the street from the mall. It was like a full-sized store, and it remains empty to this day.
I've never, honestly, it's funny, JD, I've never seen one in a mall. The two that I knew near my hometown were both standalone stores. I never saw Service Merchandise in a mall. The mall near me always had either JCPenney, Filene's. Filene's was the big Northeast mall store.
Yeah, Filene's, that one I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, Filene's.
I'm guessing there's a lot of places in this mall that weren't normally mall stores. That's usually how these bigger malls work, like the Palisades one in New York.
Yeah.
That had a lot of stores and restaurants that you don't normally see in a mall. So
no, Palisades has a...
Okay, hold on. Let's catch up. We'll come back to the mall talk.
What's Scott Norton doing here?
So Scott Norton shows up at his debut on Nitro.
Wow.
Arn busted up that match, attacked Flair for the DQ, and now Norton is all pissed off. He's getting in Bischoff's face, shoving him. He wants a match. Now Mago's getting in his face. Did you like how they made Norton a big deal right off the gate here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and
very angry.
Yep, here comes Macho Man.
And it makes sense because Norton's from Minnesota, right?
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird seeing Savage in all black at this point. I mean, not tights, but the black shirt and black bandana. You kind of associate that with his later years.
Mm.
So going face-to-face. Savage, you want a challenge? Come on, I'll give you one.
Let's talk this over at Orange Julius.
I'll tell you, there's something to be said for Norton's cut-off purple button-down shirt.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love Norton.
He's awesome.
Probably why he's so furious, because he couldn't afford sleeves
showing
yet.
The guns off.
I was always a big fan.
What Savage just doing? Whoa! It's this weird thing on the...
Norton's a great bully heel.
Yeah. I couldn't understand what he first was saying, but he told Mongo that he already had a long professional career and he wanted a chance. But he was waving some sort of envelope in
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a contract or what. Another big announcement here: Sabu coming to WCW. Of course, been an ECW mainstay at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Glenn, when did Sabu come on your radar?
Oh, pretty soon after I got into wrestling, I got online and saw a lot of people talking about kind of their nostalgia about the ECW days, because that was right around the time of One Night Stand.
Okay.
And so he was kind of swirling around there, And then when I get into it a little more, I watch some of the, you know, shoot interviews and some of the background there for just some of the insanity going on around everything involved in ECW, basically.
Yeah, he seems so mythical at the time. I only knew of him pretty much through, like, PWI and whatnot, and I wasn't online or anything at this point. So when he showed up on the promo, I was like, God damn, they're really going all out for WCW, bringing in Luger, and now Sabu's come in, and, you know, Norton, who I didn't really know much of, but it was just, it seemed like this big cavalcade of guys. And even though this is the Gene Okerlund we know, after seeing him on, like, Legends House and how kind of bloated and older he is, like, this young Gene always catches me off guard now. With the dark hair and thinner.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting that this is young Gene to us.
I know, right?
Yes. He's probably 55.
Very young Gene here.
Well, when you look at him in the AWA, he looked like he was 50, so.
Yeah.
I think he lost his hair when he was 19.
With his checkered jacket. Well,
it was as if he didn't age from like the late 70s through the mid 90s. And then when he did, oh boy.
So Johnny B. Badd versus Dirty Dick Slater on Saturday Night this week. Sting and Macho Man will be there as well. And, of course, Fall Brawl. Just is it this Sunday? Is it the one after this, or is it 2 weeks? I think it was the Sunday after this,
I'm
right?
Not sure.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks, they said.
Okay, 2 weeks.
Holy cow, there's just so much information coming at once with this show.
Yes, Fall Brawl was on, the 17th, September 17th.
Yeah, Willie,
those
I think the
escalators are always crammed, man.
It's constant people movement. Willie, I think they were trying to just dump so much in and really just get... I think they were on hyperdrive, just constant movement, like I said. And now another debut here, Michael Wall Street. And it was so jarring because at the time, I'm not reading dirt sheets. I'm not online. I don't know any of this stuff. So, you know, you just saw IRS on Raw, and now here he is on Nitro. I just saw Luger on SummerSlam, and here he is on Nitro. It was just so jarring all of a sudden.
They stole Ted DiBiase's jacket.
That's right, they did.
Yeah, you can tell it looks like it doesn't fit him either. It's very baggy. Right.
Why is the graphic not fitting like the whole screen?
Yeah, I just caught that,
too. You
can
still see part of the arena.
Yeah. Weird.
Dreadful. There's best WCW moment right there.
But yeah, so weird. And then, you know, Scott Keith was just talking about this, I guess, in one of the Observers. Rotundo was supposed to transition to, he wanted to get out of the ring. He was supposed to transition to being a road agent in July of 95. And then he jumped here. They made him an offer to come back and wrestle. So interesting stuff.
He has here what we call the classy mullet.
Yes.
Feathered out.
That's a mullet for the man with money.
Two things. One from that promo is that he said something to the effect of, oh, yes, and I know that the IRS may be coming after me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think he made another dig, too, about the new generation in there or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he talks about the new generation and then says that, you know, the wrestlers in WCW, and then he names all the old guys. Not exactly compelling. And also Fat Tuesday, I think, Scott, that's what we were looking at before.
Oh,
the
Fat
restaurant
Tuesday.
Up top.
Yeah, there you go.
It used to be one of those in Norwalk, right, Scott? Fat Tuesday. Wasn't it over near Best Buy?
Interesting. There's a...
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was a Mexican or whatever it was, a South American restaurant. Now it's something else.
No close. Big WCW logo on the ring mat there.
That's true. What's up, Glenn?
I was just pointing out the Iowa loves WCW. Sorry.
Yeah, I got that too.
It's like WWE, you got New York, but we got Iowa, baby.
So our big main event, Hulk Hogan defending the WCW World Championship versus Big Bubba Rogers, Jimmy Hart in Hogan's corner. And I believe this is where Mongo busts out his now infamous line of the speed and agility of Hulk Hogan versus the power of Big Bubba in this matchup here. I thought the move back to... you know, Scott, we were right on the cusp of it when we were doing the 94 pay-per-views when he was just about to become Big Bubba again. I thought it was good for him to get back into that character, get out of the Guardian Angel boss mess.
And yeah, get out of any law enforcement. Yeah, what we were saying, getting out of any law enforcement roles where he was wearing, like, uniforms and stuff. It was just too close to Big Boss Man. It was better to just go back to his old NWA roots and just be Big Bubba again.
Yep.
Made sense. He was back to getting a little beefy, too.
Maybe it's just a shirt.
Wow, his eyebrows are so dark.
Hogan did look weird in this period.
And Hogan's hair looks like a drape.
Yeah, that's right.
it's like a veil.
Or
a
it curtain. Is. It's like a veil of hair.
A curtain at a theater.
Yeah.
So bad. Oh my god!
It looks like the like not like the Shroud of Turin, but almost like you would see the Muslim women wear across their face.
Oh, the burqas or whatever they're called. Yes. The...
Like if you drew like two eyes on the back of his head, that's what it'll look like. Look, oh, see it?
Oh my god! Woo!
I love Big Bubba wrestling with his shirt just unbuttoned. As if he's some like weird uncle who wants to give you
like
a whoop.
He looks like an Amish farmer now.
Then he always looks like he's on the cusp of having a heart attack and they had to rip his shirt open to give him the defibrillator.
To give him the paddles.
Quick, rip your shirt off! Hogan dominating this with his cat-like agility.
I wonder if that was a safe number of people on the escalator. I've never seen that many people on an escalator before. It's
a shirtless kid. It almost looks like a doll, that shirtless kid. Doesn't even look real. I will say this. This, and I mean, you know, we talk about the Raw, especially the last couple, how much they've been dragging a bit. These Nitros definitely feel to a lot faster. Like, this is really... Again, I'm surprised we're already in the main event. It's been a really quick
This just flies right past.
Yeah, it's definitely been fast-paced, yeah.
Gosh, Hogan's way too skinny here.
He is. What's it like for you, Glenn, seeing this Hogan, like being a big real American Hogan fan? Jarring, or?
It's a little jarring. I'm trying to place it really, because he's not like slimmed down like he was in 92, 93.
Right.
But he's not like super jacked either.
Yeah, he's just kind of a normal looking guy. That's the best way to put it. With his Hurricane Spencer hair.
God, his eyebrows are so dark.
It does look kind of funny. The hair is really... That's like worth the longest his hair has ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
Nice eye poke by Big Bubba.
Yep.
Hogan looks like he's growing his hair out for like a Paul Heyman-style skullet.
I know, right?
Yes.
If that's all the hair you have, just grow as much of that as you can.
Maybe we're going to have a hair versus hair match at Starrcade, brother.
Always wanted one, and now nobody can laugh at me.
Good chemistry with these guys, too, if you remember back to their 88-89 feud. So
Every match they had tonight kind of has a written story into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart, still with Hogan here
as well. Yeah, they definitely knew, I agree, JD. They definitely knew who to put together and how to have the seamless matches tonight.
Hulk got a little too high on that first big boot. Much too agile.
Yes. Surprising everyone with his unbelievable quickness. Yep, a couple of... There's the precursor to the NWO signs. Hogan sucks. Hogan is a wimp.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Hogan has bad hair. Oh, wait, no, that's not really there.
Referee pulled him up by the hair.
Randy Anderson getting ballsy.
And Hogan's like, don't ever touch that, brother.
Guys, I must ask you, do you find it fitting... On the nights that we are starting the Nitro Rewatches, it was announced that Surge is returning.
Surge! Surge.
Coke is bringing it back.
Talk about your most 90s.
Right? Very fitting, right? I thought. I mean, it was synonymous with WCW for a while. So
I saw somebody put it on Facebook, and you clicked the link. It took you to Amazon, and there was like a Q&A. And like Amazon users could leave answers to the questions, and it's like, is it the same ingredients as before? And somebody wrote, "Yes, the animal that we previously used was thought to be extinct, but it's repopulated enough to where we can harvest it when it's needed again."
Yeah, that will be the only place you can get it is on Amazon.
Really?
You think they'll put it back in stores and restaurants if it does well? Is that the plan, probably?
I don't know, but I know what everyone from PTBN is getting from me for Christmas.
I don't know if many of them should have it.
Was it ever in restaurants to begin with, outside of like Hulk Hogan's Pastoroni or whatever?
I never remember seeing it. I definitely know where they sold it in stores, but
yeah,
it was Coke's answer to Mountain Dew. It debuted in 1997. They discontinued the syrup in 2003.
I got to say here, one of my favorite Hogan spots is when he asks the crowd whether he should hit the other guy.
Yeah, in a wrestling
What do you think,
match?
Guys?
It's like he holds up his fists and looks to the people.
There it is right there, the elbow.
Do?
Oh, I like
Should
that.
Should I hit him? Okay, I'll hit him.
Boot to the eyes. He takes a quick straw poll, so he scans around so many people telling, saying, yeah, all right, we got a consensus, guys. Here we go.
He's really fighting dirty tonight, too. Jimmy's distracting the ref so he can choke him with Jimmy's jacket, shoving his boot in Bubba's eyes.
We're in the dark Hogan phase. We'll see more of that over the coming weeks.
Yeah, not even allowing the man to button up his shirt.
Pretty good match. I think this is my match of the night so far.
A surprisingly long match.
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed it more than Pillman Liger, amazingly enough. And Sting Flair was really not much more than a bunch of press slams. So I thought they've timed the comebacks well. Hogan's had a couple of spots coming back into it, and Bubba keeps cutting them off. We'll wait for the Chad Campbell review to see what we should think.
I'll be excited about the Andre Rison jersey guy in the front row there. Incidentally, if you wanted to buy Surge in Norway, it was actually called Urge. No S's allowed in Norway.
Oh, I thought it would be Surge, S-E-R-G-E.
Serge.
Umla.
Umla. Serge.
Serge, bring me a Surge.
In 1997, Coca-Cola settled trademark disputes with Babson Brothers, an industrial cleaning product company whose cow milking machine has been known as Surge since 1925.
Oh, I thought that's where they got the original recipe.
Oh, they didn't buy the recipe?
Yeah, come on. Come on, Helga, get on the Surge.
No, I'm a Mountain Dew drinker. And though I remember when I drank Surge for the first time, that it was like, yeah, wow, that is even too sugary for me.
It was loaded with sugar.
And yeah, Hogan gets the win. It tasted like, looked like antifreeze.
Mm. Well, speaking of antifreeze, Hogan's drink of choice in Suburban Commando. He just hits a big boot and leg drop for the win. Clean win. I like that match. I'm definitely in a match of the night for that. So Hogan celebrating
not a bad
here.
Match at all.
Jimmy Hart's pumped up.
Ew, that's Minnesota right there. That lady is Minnesota. Whoa, mustard colored shirt.
Oh, yeah. Shirt and shirt not fitting, lifting up.
Yes. Yes.
Very much so. I don't know. I thought Sting Flair was pretty good, even though it was kind of a glorified squash.
Oh, here comes the Dungeon of Doom.
Imagine you see Kamala running through the mall.
Kamala running through the mall with no shoes on.
John Tenta taking his time. Yeah.
The earthquake.
Kamala selling his,
is that Meng or the Barbarian there?
Finishing his burrito.
Oh, and Luger's here to help. All right.
It's Meng, yep. Luger's jeans. Yeah, that outfit is so 90s, mid-90s. Yeah, it's not going to top the ball for me, but
those are definitely guest jeans.
Oh, yeah. You can see the little triangle
the
there.
The triangle.
You
know? Yep.
Yep, the guest triangle.
The one thing I hated about Hogan, just the over-exposition. What's he doing here, brother?
We already saw him 20 minutes ago. Like,
he was here half an hour ago.
I just pulled up.
I might have won the world title, but I didn't get a bus.
I was wolfing down some pasta.
I was carbo
loading. Hogan's got things to do. He's not watching the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I was carbo loaded. I was getting my hair cut.
There was no monitor in the Pasta Mania, brother.
Stop off at Supercuts.
Yeah. Oh, there's a steakhouse over there. I wonder what that is.
Hogan and Luger arguing here, Savage and Sting in to break it up. And this would start the endless segments of this over the coming months, these four guys.
Nice little moment was Macho slaps both of them on the chest and then just kind of wiggles his fingers. Doesn't actually say anything. He just moves his hands rapidly.
That's all I need to say. Nice little aerial view here of the argument as we go to break, our final break.
It's nice, is even though I've watched these shows, I don't have such a good memory of them. Like, I thought that was how the show ended.
Them so, talking like that.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do now.
A little fall ball preview. Vader's still in there.
Battle against muscular dystrophy battles on.
The battle is battling as the battle's on.
Fall Brawl bought you by muscular dystrophy.
They have enough money to.
Special referee Jerry Lewis this week.
The Hogan.
Oh. 1, 2, blame
me. Made in the Luger.
If I ever have a spare hour to make a new Open Glen, you're in it.
You're definitely in it, yes. Let's talk the fix. Perfect.
Do I even?
All right, Willie, what's being said here?
I don't know. I'm too busy thinking of Jerry Lewis.
Luger. I think it's where Luger, he He's like, well, I did watch this recently.
He went to shot at Hogan's at Hogan's belt.
And he says he's tired of playing with kids.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a bust in this company, though.
Was Amir, did you guys feel Luger immediately look different, too? Like, he didn't, I don't know what it was. Like, he doesn't look like the same Luger that was there. I mean, even just like a week before SummerSlam, I feel like he looks different.
Right, because I feel like his hair was never that long in WWF, even in those 2 years. I feel like in the stretch between SummerSlam and
it was like
here,
2 days.
His hair seemed so much longer.
I know. It was like days,
you know? Yeah, I know. But
was that something, is that something Bischoff told him? You're going to come here, just don't tell Vince, and grow your hair out.
I want that hair long.
Because Hulk loves a mirrorless hair mattress somebody.
It's going to be
you. Make sure his hair was longer than Hogan's.
So it seems like a pretty heated promo here.
Yeah, I just imagine that's what they're arguing about.
He said that he's been that he beat the same guys that Hogan did. He's tired of playing with kids, and then Mean Gene gives a look like, "Ooh, it's getting hot in here." You notice how small the big gold belt actually looks right here?
Yes,
it's obviously an earlier version of it.
I didn't realize that Hogan fought Hakushi. Oh no, he wasn't. He didn't really fight the same guys.
I eliminated Mantar from the Royal Rumble too, brother.
Yeah. I wanted to be in Allied Forces. Or Allied Powers, whatever that stupid tag team was.
All right, you guys have to keep me posted. I accidentally hit the rewind button, so you'll have to...
Hogan's still sweating and heated and...
Sting, he flubbed his line, too.
Of course he did.
He said, he's like, you don't have to prove anything to me. And he's going to say, just stick your palm out and shake my hand. But he said, just stick, and then he slipped up in his word, your stinky palm, and...
Your palm is stinky from Fat Tuesdays.
Your stinky palm, you freaking bum.
No,
Hogan's fired up, huh? Jesus.
Yeah. He looks less, Luger looks less cartoony. Like, you know, less like, you know, the red, white, and blue.
He just looks bigger, too, doesn't he? He like taller.
The shirt's definitely puffy. The shirt oh, there's the dog.
There's your debut, Pepe, right there.
Pepe.
Yeah, baby.
Pepe was at Service Merchandise.
That dog looks so high right now.
it's like a cartoon.
As we all should be.
He's not even moving. It's like it's fake.
It does look fake. Why has he got a devil costume on? It's not Halloween yet. Mango's a weird dude.
That's how Mango would punish his dogs.
I got a costume for every day.
Yeah, you're going to hell, Pepe. You're going to hell, damn it.
There's Neil Patrick Harris.
I'd like to imagine that guy with the glasses is the Vladimir of Nitro, but I'm sure we'll never see him again. This fat Weird Al.
There's our copyright.
All right. Oof. Very good episode of Nitro here to start things off. A lot of fun. Let's go through our categories quick. So match of the night, we'll start with you, Mr. Glenn.
I think you know where I'm going. I'm going to go with Hogan. I actually didn't expect to. I actually enjoyed all three matches, but... that Hogan match, I think, was the best.
All right, I'm going to go with that match as well. How about you, Dunkey?
You know, what's funny is, going in, I assumed I would give it to Pillman against Liger. I think I'm going to give it to Sting and Flair.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it.
All right. You like Dunkey? That was my stinky hand.
I did it, yeah. stick your Dunkey hand out. And shake.
I'm not calling you Dunkey on Wednesday, so.
All right,
that'll never, all right that'll we heard Glenny, we heard Dunkey. What about you, Willie?
I apologize to anybody who's listening who knows me very well, but I'm going to have to say Sting and Flair. I think I have to say Pillman and Liger, but that was number three for me. I think it's
Sting. Yeah, I think it was for me too. I think even Hogan and Bubba I liked more. The first match was just too sloppy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a little sloppy, yeah.
All right, Scotty.
I got to go with Sting Flair. I thought it was a good showcase. The crowd got hot for both of them.
It was all press slams.
Yeah, and all Hogan and Bubba was eye pokes and boots.
No, it was a great match. Right, Glenn?
I don't think any of them were bad. Like Glenn said, I don't think any of the matches were outright bad.
All right. So Flair and Sting win by the smallest of voting margins. All right. Random appearance.
I don't know.
Yep, him. Technically the random appearance.
I'd say either him or Norton, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying Service Merchandise.
No, that's most mid-90s.
I was thinking about that the whole show.
I don't know, I think maybe Mongo's dog.
Sabu.
I was going to suggest that too, Glenn.
Mongo's dog.
Yeah, but well, Pepe becomes a mainstay, but I guess all these guys do. I mean, if you want to see, I mean, Luger was surprising. I thought IRS was surprising at the time. Mm-hmm. I would say one of those two probably gets my vote.
I'll vote Luger.
Yeah, I'll go with Luger too, because it was a pretty big deal at the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was still a main event.
And it really did set the stage for what Nitro would be. Like, that was Nitro's staple, was who's going to show up this week for a while.
Right. Mm.
Glenn?
Screw it. I'm still going to go with the dog.
All right, Pepe and Willie.
This is debut?
No, random appearance.
Random appearance is Pepe for me, because they didn't show him the whole show until that last shot. And then all of a sudden, Mongo's got a dog on his lap.
It's a good argument. It's a good argument. Where was
and, like,
he?
We all, like I don't know, watching it at the time, Luger wasn't expected. But, you know, now we know what's going to happen.
I'll change my pick to Pepe.
There you go.
I'll change to Pepe.
Is that everyone?
Pepe, the doped up devil dog.
All right, Pepe Le Pew.
Dog.
All right, most mid-90s, I'm going to go with the mall.
Yeah, the mall itself, and it's encompassing stores. Servage merchandise, the flag store, Fat Tuesdays.
Wicks and Sticks.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Wetzel's Pretzels in there and Orange Julius. And yeah,
I'll agree with that, too. Definitely, yeah, the mall itself.
Yeah, for sure.
Service merchandise is more mid-80s to me. And, you know, I think I'm going to talk about service merchandise next segment quite a bit.
All right.
I even do think that by 95, service merchandise seemed old. You're right, Steve.
Yeah. Does anybody remember how they shop at service merchandise?
I never been
Stay
to
tuned,
one
folks. Stay
one,
tuned.
So. All right. Most WCW moment, I'm gonna also say that their premiere show took place in a mall. Like, to me, that's as WCW as it gets. In a good way. That they were taking a risk and doing something different.
I think there's a good and a bad. I think the being in a mall was cool, but that terrible technical gaffe where you have this Wall Street yep. clip with the, and it's not even aligned with the SD title save, and you're seeing like random crowd shots next to it. How you don't line that up is ridiculous.
Yeah, it happened again before the final break too.
Yeah. All right. So I say we do a tie. Good that they debuted in a mall, but bad that they still have technical gaps.
I think you're just making up votes, Glenn. What's your vote?
Which one is this?
Most WCW.
I'm gonna say the whole Michigas with Luger and Hogan at the end. I've been where you've been. I don't want to play with kids. I am not a fan of wrestling companies basing a lot of their story on other wrestling companies.
True.
And I think this is going to be a running theme for WCW.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Was that everyone's vote?
You know, go ahead, Steve.
Okay. I'm going to go with the mall, too. I totally agree with your assessment, Justin. Like, for good and for bad. Like, it's kind of silly, but it is a risk. And look at the crowd is huge, because you got people who knew about it who were there, and then your random tourists as well. Because locals don't shop at the Mall of Misery.
The Mall of Misery.
Yeah, I think the mall's a good thing. I mean, it just reminds me of WCW Spring Breakout shows and the Sturgis shows. And
MGM.
They always did. Yeah, they'd MGM. Always do like those weird, unique things. And I think it's cool. I've always heard they'd lost money on all of them because they couldn't actually charge for tickets at a lot of those shows. But
it's good exposure.
Yeah. So,
all right, I say I was tempted to say
having a show with three good matches but ending it with people just shouting at each other. Is a very WCW thing, you know?
Yeah, that was another thing I wanted to mention, that the match ended, and then they went to commercial, and then the whole last segment was an argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something tells me we'll have a lot of opportunity to name that as a WCW thing.
Yeah, how the show ended.
All right, let's go around the horn and average out the grade from 1 to 10. Glennie.
This is hard for me because I don't really know the highs or, to an extent, the lows that it gets to, but I kind of enjoyed it, so I'm going to start with a 6.
Okay. JD?
Yeah, I was thinking 6 in my head as well. I'll stick with that, and I think kind of giving them a little bit of latitude because it's their first episode, I think they really delivered a good show for the first ever episode. I'll say a 6.
Okay. JR?
Yeah, I was going to say 6.5. I think they definitely came out of the gate strong. They won me over at the time, or scared me anyway, as a WWF fan. Like, wow, this is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think they probably surprised a lot of people with all the stops they pulled out. I think they took it seriously, and they had a big, couple of big matches. They had some big surprises, and they set up next week, too. They set up that Savage-Norton match. They set up Hogan-Luger, which we didn't mention, but that was a match set up. I mean, to go to episode two with Luger just coming back, and you're setting that match up for Nitro and not for a pay-per-view, was a pretty big deal and a pretty big surprise, so... I think they took it very seriously. They debuted a lot of guys. They set up a lot of things. And, yeah, 6.5, and that even feels a little bit low to me, honestly.
Mm. And who's left? Willie.
Steve. I'm going to go 8. I'll be happy to be the outlier here. I didn't remember, and compared to some of the Raws we watched where you get one good match and, you know, some jobber squashes, you know, these were three solid pay-per-view matches that were on this. You know, they're a little shorter than pay-per-view matches, as shown by the Sting Flair kind of, you know, frenetic pace that they had. But, you know, how often are you going to get a show with this caliber, these caliber of matchups, you know, here and out on any show?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of average it out, because I was looking that high too, Steve. I'm going to say 7.5. I don't remember this show at all being this good. I don't remember either of those other two matches. I pretty much only remembered Hogan and Bubba. So I was pleasantly surprised too, and just the kitsch of it, the whole gimmick with the mall and all these weird looking people and the elevators and people looking at it. It's just the whole ambiance was just so unique. And one thing you got to give early Bischoff credit for before his business acumen went out the window, he did take risks with things like that. Like, I mean, why wouldn't Vince do something in a mall? Why the hell not? Because he needed to make money. He couldn't take these risks because
People talk about the weird locations they did, like Shock on Saturday Night and little shows like that.
Mm. Yeah, they got away with that. They did get away with that sometimes, but Vince would never do his full-blown Monday show in a place where he couldn't charge. But again, you're dealing with Bischoff, who, you know, wasn't his money. It was Vince's. Vince was using his own money. So, all right, so let's see. That's 6, 12, 18.5, 26.5, and so 34.
34.
So 34 divided by 5, it's about a little under 7, like 6.75.
Yeah, we'll seven. I gave it a 6, and I have no problem with Steve giving it an 8.
Yeah, let's go 7. Yeah. I think
we'll go 7. Yep, we'll go 7.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We're going to hit up our second episode, so we will talk to you in a minute.
Because?
Anything subject to part 2, Billy!
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
All right, Nation, we be back in the house here reviewing Nitro's episode 1 and 2 with Scotty, with Glenny, with Willie and Dunkey, and this is Justin Rosero, of course. Place to Be podcast coming at you live from PlaceToBeNation.com. Russell Sellers had a great article today. 5 reasons we should stop talking about in Marvel Comics Universe Civil War. Ben Morse on one side, Spider-Man on the other, who will win. Also, Knockout Round 3, Day 1 of the World Cup of TV Characters is in, and let's do Scotty C's vote. Scott, we got Kramer and Kramer versus Walter White, number 1 versus number 32.
I voted for Walter White.
Kramer leads by 8 votes only.
Mm.
So
that could be earth-shaking, that upset, if that possibly happens.
Could happen. We got number 10 seed, Monty Burns from Seinfeld against Kevin Arnold from The Wonder Years.
Simpsons. Monty Burns from The Simpsons, you mean.
What did I say?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Not everybody's on Seinfeld.
Everyone's from Seinfeld, from The Simpsons, yes.
And who's the other one?
Kevin Arnold from The Wonder Years.
Okay, I voted for Kevin Arnold.
No, Monty Burns is up by 23.
Ooh, yeah.
I was saying Boo Earns.
I was saying Boo Kevin Arnold.
Yeah.
All right, we have Homer Simpson from Beverly Hills 90210 taking on Michael Scott from The Office. That's a tough one right there.
Yeah,
such a sad vote for me. Yeah,
yeah, I voted for Homer.
Yeah, he's up 32 votes early here.
Oof.
Yeah. Wow.
And the last one in this one is number 12 seed versus number 21 seed, Frasier Crane versus Eric Cartman.
Two of my favorites, but I voted for Frasier.
Frasier should win this. Cartman's up by 9 right now.
Hmm.
I think I voted the opposite of every one of your picks, Scott. I think I may have voted for Frasier over Cartman, though. That might be the one we got right.
All right, a new episode of The Extra Point. Scott, Dr. G, and Kyle Forchetti broke down week two, talked to some of the Ray Rice and AP news, and did a little college talk as well, so check that bad boy out. As I mentioned before, Joseph Feeney was back with a Feeney flashback for WCW Monday Night Show 9/11/95, the episode we're about to watch, so you can read along there as well. Adam Murray, back with 2010, his pop music class retrospective. He had done 2009, and now looking at the basically the feature artist of the year, best newcomer, breakthrough award type stuff. And where they are now, and how asinine it was that they won, or how fitting it was that they had won awards at the time. New installment of the 22 Weeks podcast, our buddy Matt Ryan was joined by Matthew Foster, Alex Soberman, and Marvin Williams, along with Redskins blogger Tom Garrett. They talked about week two of the NFL and all the big news as well. We have a SmackDown recap, Matt Petticord, new episode of the Still Real to our show. The High Spot, of course, with two of our guests here tonight, Steve Willey and Glenn Butler. Looked at Michael Elgin's problems, NXT TakeOver, Sean O'Hare, that tragic story from last week as well. Greg Phillips and Nick Duke went off the page. Look at Justice League, Axis of Villains. Willie, what's that?
It's like some sort of nerd game, I think is what it is.
Okay. Way to put it over.
Nerds!
It's at my local comic book store yesterday. So.
All right, if you're into nerd games, check that out. Seinfeld rewatch also going on. That's my buddy Jordy Dunkey here over here, and we looked at The Stranded season 2 episode 9. Jordan, it was one that kind of surprised me how much. Actually, no, I'm sorry, that's the one's coming tomorrow. It was the one I was surprised by. Stranded was meh.
Yeah, not very good.
Yeah, the one coming tomorrow is The Statue, which was much better than I remember.
Much better. I like Georgie and Kramy in that one.
Yes,
Kramy.
He is Kramy. And of course, we had Scott Keith's rant for NXT. TakeOver Fatal 4-Way. We had a new episode of the Steve Corino Show. Talked to Cedric Alexander. New episode of TJ and Todd's Tailgate. And Scott and Justin's Vintage Vault Refresh, boys. Back at it every Thursday. Should be a new one up there for your enjoyment. WrestleMania 2 went up last Thursday. Scott and I are going back to the written reviews that got this whole thing started. And we're refreshing our opinions, our thoughts, and our fun facts as well. So be sure to check those out if you're a fan of the written reviews. They're bulkier and more exciting for you to go back and relive. Also, check out The Cowboy Goes to Class. He suffered the WrestleMania 9 to play off our Raw live rewatches that we're doing, the 1993 Raws. We were up to WrestleMania, so Roger watched that. He went in optimistic. Did he come out optimistic? You need to tune in to find out. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in a pop culture world. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Twitter, PlaceNumber2BeNation. Info, PlaceToBeNation.com. Be sure to click the Amazon link on the side if you want to help support us. If you're going to buy something anyway, which I know you all do, you're all shopaholics. DVDs, wrestling buddies.
If you're going to buy any Surge.
Right. If you're going to go buy a case of Surge, click that link. It takes you one extra stop. There's no extra sign-ups, no extra nothing. You come to PlaceToBeNation.com, hit that link, goes right to Amazon, and you can go about your business. We get a little bit of ducats our way. So
we're also working on a sponsorship deal with Service Merchandise. So.
Yeah. You get your Surge. You stack on a nerd game. You get free shipping, and we get a kickback.
Yes.
I mean, what?
And then head over to lavalovers.com, get yourself a lava lamp, and, of course, the exclusive sponsor of The Kevin Kelly Show, now featured at ROHWrestling.com.
Any WWE lava lamps available?
Yeah, I think if you go searching, you can maybe dig some up. Lavalovers.com. All right, boys, we are at the zeros mark of episode 2, 9/11/95. When everyone's ready, I'm going to count us in. We all good?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Something I noticed is
I'm gonna get that intersection now.
The neon sign that was lit up said prescriptions, which I think is interesting for professional wrestling.
Oh God.
I hope we're all gonna do the acapella open every episode for Noah.
Yes.
What mall are we in this week?
Oh, I'm seriously so disappointed. I thought this was at the mall, too.
No, we're in the Fairweather City of America, Miami, Florida.
Let's go to the mall.
This looks like a wrestling show.
I know. It's kind of depressing, but just being in an arena. But this is where you get
That's a pretty big crowd, though.
Yeah, and this is where you get the Nitro that we would really come to know for a long time. And that is the fancy opening, the lights, the fire, the pyro. This is the look that we will big have metal. For the next, what, till mid-99-ish, right? Is that when they have this one till? A good 4 years.
Oh, yeah. At least.
Yeah, it was like April 99, I think, when they got the new WCW logo.
Yeah.
So we'll call it a good close to 4 years that we'll get to.
And even then, they kept the ramp, so.
Yeah.
And we've got the cage here for the announcers.
Yes.
Yes.
Way up in the back.
Mongo looks like they're sitting in a big hot tub or something.
Popping bubbly.
Where's Pepe? Another random appearance for episode two?
Bobby's jacket and shirt might be most mid-90s right off the bat.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting color choice.
And Bischoff keeps stealing shirts from Luger's closet. Trying to sell that collarless action there.
That vest.
This was at the Knight Center, which was where Clash of the Champions 2 was way back in 1988.
Now, is this the famous show where Eric Bischoff gave away results to Raw?
I think it is. Willie's going to let us know, but I'm pretty sure it starts here.
Okay.
I think this is the Shawn beat the big guy with 3 super kicks episode.
Yeah, I think so too.
And once again, the graphics don't really cover full screen.
Yeah, what is going on with that?
We might as well just get used to that. I'm sure that's going to be the case.
No, but see, the left side has that, like, the metal Nitro
that
graphic.
Bar, yeah.
I feel like they screwed up and didn't put it in on the other side.
I think Hogan
that might
and
be
Mean Gene
had the same dye for the mustache and the eyebrows.
I know. Wow. And you keep stealing Bischoff's shirts.
So, and you had a just recap. Since you're just recapping the video, like in the 80s, from what I remember from service merchandise, I have to say this. You would go and buy, if you wanted to get silverware, say, from the furniture section, and then you wanted to get your big wheel from the toy section, you'd write it down on a piece of paper, and then you would go to the terminal, which was like an old TRS-80 computer, like the big screen and just the white or green text, and you'd have to type in the model numbers that you would wanted. You'd press return. Then you'd go up to the service desk where they'd go to the, it would connect to the warehouse and they'd put your order in and then you'd have to wait for like 10, 15 minutes. And then it would come out on a conveyor belt so you can check out, pay for it, and take it home. That is a lost art.
How convenient.
That's why they don't exist.
Yes.
Did Mongo sound like someone with long hair to you? Like, can you hear his voice? I don't picture him.
I have a feeling that's an article. So.
I don't picture him having a long ponytail, that's all.
He didn't sound like someone who wore glasses, that's for sure.
Look, baby, I don't have 20/20 vision like the weasel over here, so some of us need the spectacles on.
I think Mongo here is incontrovertible proof that anyone can be made to look better with glasses. This is an opinion of mine. I think it's been proven. And here we have Sabu.
Yes, his debut.
Right, if only he had
the genocidal.
If only he had glasses on.
He'd look like the smartest crazy Arabian ever. Very small aisle, huh? Very short.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was really
already hurt.
There.
I did get to see Sabu in his only WCW pay-per-view. Well, maybe not his only one, but Halloween Havoc, 1995. I was there at the Joe, which also included a monster truck match and a mummy dry-humping Hulk Hogan. So just a lot of stuff going on that night.
So was it? So Halloween Havoc was at the Joe 2 years in a row?
Uh-huh, 94 and 95.
I guess so, 94 and 95. Yeah, they were weird like that.
Yeah, well, then we got World War III two years in a row as well.
Mm.
Luckily for us.
Das yes. Wunderkind.
Das Wunderkind.
Das Wunderkind.
I like Alex Wright. I don't know if anyone else is on board with me, but he won me over watching those 97 Nitros. I thought he was actually pretty good, and I think he's even good leading up to those. So we'll see how this match goes. Sabu, a crazed animal. Let's get the ever-present shoulder tape as well.
I'm sure that had some type of Japanese fire match or something.
I gotta say, I'm open to the idea of a Teutonic wrestler.
This is a really...
You're right, Steve.
I'm trying to not know something else Glenn just said.
I think Glenn broke Steve.
He just I do try.
How do we feel about the lit up ring banner? I kind of like it. The Monday Night Show illuminated.
That's cool.
That is very cool, actually.
I dig it.
It's like a fish tank.
So how long was Sabu in for this?
I think Jordan's right. I think he's gone by October.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was a really big deal at the time because he was not a national name, and he was just one of those guys that you would hear about on Prodigy. That's right.
Prodigy. Oh, yeah.
Smack my bitch up. The he was a weird fit for WCW too, Sabu. Like he didn't
it's
totally
very surreal.
Fit. Yeah, look at that Guido in the front row. At the kind of looks
they're
like
really putting him over though.
What is he? What is
big
he? Oh, that's a. It's a. Okay, that's a lot
of that classic Macho Man shirt.
That guy looks like Hoovy Guerrero right there. The guy with the white shirt and the
chain. That
guy
said now looks like Armento.
Oh, God.
Cross with Jay Hinchy.
Yes. Yes.
The people putting their beers in front of the barricade.
Yeah. There's a bunch of beer. Yeah, right on.
That's interesting. Nice slam by Alex Wright and Sabu on the floor here. Alex Wright getting some offense in, showing off a bit. That's part of Sabu. Good.
I don't know if he ever actually pinned anyone while he was here, because I think every match ends with like a DQ or a count out or something.
Well, that was like part of his allure, too, is that he gets his ass kicked sometimes because he misses crazy spots and then he'd fight back. So it's a little weird in some ways to see him get worked over or see him give offense, but that was kind of Sabu's character. That
it makes sense. Right. Yeah.
He never dominated. He always just did stupid shit and got hurt, but never gave up and came back because he was crazy.
Did you catch the people in the front row flashing Hacksaw Jim Duggan foam 2x4s a minute ago?
Fired up. That was a nice nice dive by Alex Wright. Mm. He's come to fight tonight, baby.
You think anyone ever accused Alex Wright of being hardcore? Because this is a hardcore wrestling match right here.
It is, and he's hanging.
Yes, he is, yep.
Those nice aqua blue tights.
And we'd be remiss without mentioning Sabu's aluminum foil Reynolds wrap.
Oh, yeah. Classic Sabu.
Yes.
Nice superplex. Ooh, this is a great match.
Crisp. Yeah. Very crisp.
Might be in the running for me for best Nitro match of all time so far.
not many nominees at the moment.
Well, number four.
Let's see?
Yep. I feel like.
What's that green thing that guy's got on his head in the back there?
It's a cowboy hat.
It's a huge cowboy hat.
Like Macho Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice springboard
elbow.
He's
walking with purpose like, this is my hat.
Slowly striding.
Slowly he's talking up the steps.
There's a really big step. It's like he's on an escalator going that's coming down. Like, it doesn't seem to actually be moving.
We'll be in the main event and he's still there.
Yes.
Being very careful not to spill his beer.
Excuse me, I have a hat. This has been an excellent match on JR. I do.
I'm enjoying it. It definitely feels like we're more, as much as the mall look was cool now, I feel like we're able to focus a little bit more on the matches now that we're in this setting.
Oh, whatever the hell that was. That was pretty good.
Kind of a victory roll off the top. And
imagine that Sabu never wins
got
a match.
Win.
And then he immediately pinned the guy.
And he didn't really botch anything.
No, it was a good match. I thought it was a really good showing for Alex Wright. I thought he looked pretty strong in this match.
But you know what, though? If I remember correctly, I don't know if the win holds here. I think something happens.
Yeah. Alex Wright
still
was a guy
him up.
Alex Wright was a guy who just always seemed to get sandbagged by other wrestlers.
Yes, he does.
You know, the Paul Roma deal when he debuted. And then when he didn't, Duggan really just kind of screw him over when he debuted as Berlin, just didn't sell anything for him and made him look bad right off the bat. Yeah.
He'd always have Gene Oakland yelling, English, damn it, when he started yelling.
I gotta ask here, Sabu already got the win. What is his beef still?
He's just a crazy bastard. He doesn't care. Look at this table. It's like you would see at a college basement to play beer pong on.
Yes. Be careful. You know, you get a tetanus shot if you go through that.
Yeah, Glenn, I think Sabu thinks he's Das Wonder Kid. I mean, and he's really upset for Alex taking that title from him.
Jesus Christ.
What was that? All
right. So that was a real, like, legit fucking table. That was no crap particle board.
Yeah.
And Wright was sitting up on the end of it. Sabu just dove into him and they smashed through the table, split it in half, and, like, Wright's back completely bent in half.
I honestly can't even figure out what he was attempting to do there.
That
was
I think they shoulder block decision. Actually, did, don't block? They, Willie? Do they say that?
Yeah, I think they give it to Ross.
Yes, they just did. They,
yeah.
All right, screw it. I like this match a lot. It's my best match so far.
Yeah, I agree.
My theory is that Sabu, with all the tape, every time he wrestled, he seemed to have more tape. And the last time we saw him was at Havoc 95, and then at the end of that show, a mummy showed up. And maybe Sabu was the Yeti. I don't know.
I feel like Wright was taped up. I feel like Wright was probably supposed to be laying down, and that's what that... So he just like kind of clotheslined him instead.
Yes. Yeah, like maybe a splash.
Bischoff called the victory roll his Arabian press, which was not at all an Arabian press.
Maybe he meant like the Arabian press is covering the match.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, Sabu did it. Of course it's Arabian.
All right, Gene in the ring. ECW sign prominent.
Yeah, there we go.
Both of them made the W, though.
Right. I think they probably did it to be sneaky, huh?
To get in, yeah.
It's pretty smart.
Serious feedback.
Based on the colors, is this Savage or is this
no,
Sting?
No, it's Flair.
Oh, it's Flair. Nate.
Snapping his fingers, looking dapper.
This is the go-home Nitro, incidentally, to before Fall Brawl.
Should we make Roger watch Fall Brawl 95 this week?
I was afraid you might make me watch this stuff. Is that one worth watching?
Yes, you should watch it.
Yeah, it is a good show, Fall Brawl 95.
The main event's a train wreck, but you get at least 2 to 3 very good matches. So yeah, Flair will be facing Arn Anderson. First time they'll fight, I think, right? On WCW TV?
Yep.
So kind of a cool feud at the time. Never been done. Never thought you'd see it. They had split up when they had teamed up. They had a handicap match of Vader on The Clash before this. It was right before Nitro started, I think. Actually, they might have been when they announced Nitro was on That Clash, I think. And
speaking of the person with the ECW sign, someone doing the Raven pose right behind Flair for a second there.
And a Dare shirt. That might be our most mid-90s thing so far. It's right behind Flair. So Flair and Arn lost that match, and Flair got pissed off and started bad-mouthing Arn, and that's why they split up. So we'll track that feud as we move along. But
pretty interesting. An ECW sign in a Raven pose in Miami in 1995. Definitely not ECW country.
Benvenido a Miami.
Had they been traveling to Florida yet then?
I think ECW had. Yeah, they had shows there because I was watching them on 24/7, and there were shows like in 94, I think, in Florida.
Oh, really? See, I guess there was I just always assumed they were. Okay.
There was a place in Fort Lauderdale they used to go to a lot.
It was in 94 or 95 they were there, I'm pretty sure.
Sexy Lexi coming to the ring here.
I'll tighten it up. See, he looks different. Like, doesn't he? He looks bigger than he did in WWF. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
I think it's the lack of the USA tassel trunks.
It may be it. It may be just the
really
lack of
accentuating.
I really
do think that's a difference.
Now he cares nothing for our country.
Yes.
I like care about myself.
I'm going to start using the Arabian press now.
What's Flair all pissed off about, Willie?
Oh, he's not. He's putting over Luger, saying he's Luger's going to get a take out Hogan. 6'5", 275, 60-inch chest, boys. 22-inch arms.
So no B in his bonnet?
Yep.
22-inch arms, you say? Interesting.
Yes.
Is So that was, why did Luger even come out there? That was weird.
I have no idea.
Really odd.
Just to remind us that he's there.
Yeah, Flair talked about how he was out in South Beach styling and profiling, but he thinks AA was back in his hotel room calling his wife and his child.
He was wrong. AA is probably doing something perverted, getting drunk, cheating on his wife, is what I'm guessing.
Yes.
Is this when they announced Vader's out? Are they doing that, Willie?
Not yet.
Okay. That comes up at some point in the show. Mm. Say Vader went AWOL. Of course, in reality, he got into that fight with Paul Orndorff in the back, got suspended, and then fired. He was supposed to be on Hogan's team in the biggest mismatch match of all time for a main event. It was.
Yes, if you look at the teams, it's pretty it's pretty one-sided.
Hogan, Savage, Sting, and Vader in a cage against, what's it,
Kamala, the Zodiac, the Shark, and Meng.
Yeah.
They did mention that. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, Steve. What do they say?
Yeah, they did mention that earlier on in the show about the 4-on-3.
So here comes Michael Wall Street.
I love the gold kerchief in the pocket. I think it's very dapper.
Is he VK yet? I think he's VK yes. here, right?
Yeah, Bischoff is saying, you know, what's with the VK stuff? All of a sudden he's VK Wall Street.
I wonder where that came from.
Wink, wink. Dan Marino jersey in the crowd.
Hey, are they allowed to have a buddy on WCW TV? The original outsider, a WWF doll.
Looks as pristine as mine does.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at that guy in the look at that kid in the back with us. I want this Luger. Well, I want this Luger. It looks like pajamas.
Is the Lex Express here?
Where's the bus? I was told the bus was here.
The Luger Moo Moo.
I came to see Diesel.
Raider, backwards Raider hat there in the shot that was, the camera was not wide enough. Whoa.
Comes the
Gloria Estefan. Gloria Estefan, big Sting fan in the crowd.
Yes, I see. Yes.
Sting, our first wrestler to have two matches, a repeat match in Nitro history.
That's right. That's right.
Sting appearing here in his bathrobe.
It's like Grizzly Smith right there.
That's a pretty badass purple and yellow WCW hat that kid has rocking there.
Those are like the official colors of WCW for years.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Odd color choices.
Mm.
Oh. It worked for the Lakers.
That's right.
They just mentioned something about Raw. That and Mongo said, who cares? They named it after a bunch of uncooked eggs.
You got them.
And this is for the United States Championship as the belt is raised.
Not bad for VK. Comes right in, gets a title shot.
Look at the size of those dollar signs. They're huge.
I make money, sir.
He's got to be richer than Ted DiBiase.
Look at all this money on my pants.
The crowd doesn't seem to care at all.
Yeah, they look very dead.
Yeah.
Not the same as the mall. 1988, this match should have been tearing down the house in the Omni.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Varsity Club at the time for VK.
It was weird seeing him back in the tights after all those years of being in the suit.
Mm. He should have wrestled in a blue in a blue shirt, an alternate blue shirt instead of the white shirt.
He did have a blue shirt, actually, his last couple of matches.
Mm. That's right, he did. Maybe that's why I had that in my head. Maybe that's where it came from.
Sting, his move of choice in this match with a dropkick instead of the press slam. Yeah.
Nice guy with jorts there in the background trying to climb through everybody. Baggy jorts. I feel like mid-90s, Sting was locked in with his face paint. It was looking like it's best in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
It was a good colors.
Sting just completely dominating this match. Wall Street all shaken up. There's another 2x4 for you, Glenn.
Hey, yeah.
What's really interesting about that 2x4 is that's like a grown man without a child.
I know.
Like, yeah. I think I'll buy this Hacksaw Jim Duggan 2x4.
I like to think he found it like in the bathroom and just took it.
Just like the TV title years later.
Yeah. Yep. Now the spirit of Hacksaw lives in you.
Hey, what are you using that 2x4 for?
They are trying to get every shot in WWF.
Oh, yeah. They were just balls out at this point.
Yeah, saying Luger was just 9 days ago wrestling for the WWF and Mongo going that he literally came out of the Bush Leagues to come here.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, literally.
Literally, baby. I know what that
there
word means.
It was a league of bushes.
You don't have to ask me to prove it. I'm telling you, I know what it means. I promise.
They're a bunch of raw eggs. Uncooked.
Goodness, that's a bit lewd for 95, isn't it?
Yes.
Literally the League of Bush.
Yeah.
The Wall Street getting more offense on Sting than Flair did.
Ooh, that wasn't good.
Ooh, he's got the, yeah. Got the Sheamus elbow there. Shoulder, rather.
Well, the nice thing is they played it off right, whereas Sting ended up selling it more than Wall Street did.
Right. Good veteran presence.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Sting would have been the one who botched after a Sabu match?
Right. No. Sabu's had the least botches of Pillman, Liger, all these guys.
announced that Flying Brian will be going against Johnny B. Bad at Fall Brawl.
There you go.
Winner takes on Sting.
30-minute awesomeness. I remember watching that match in that pay-per-view, Scrambled.
And it wasn't actually, it was supposed to be only 20, and it went to overtime.
Yeah, more two overtimes, I think, right?
I think so.
Like, they did a 5-minute overtime, and that still didn't end, so then they did another one.
It was, I think it was a, let me see. Yeah, it was a number one contenders match for the U.S. title, so there needed to be a winner.
Now, my favorite for WCW moment so far is debuting Rotundo at the first episode of Nitro as Michael Wall Street, and then 1 week later changing his name.
Yes. Without mentioning.
Like, if you were going to do that, why didn't you just call him VK Wall Street from the beginning?
They probably didn't think about it. Wait a minute!
And it's not that clever.
No, it's really obvious. So Sting coming back now. He ascends the top rope and comes off with a high cross body. Is this it? It is. Wall Street looks at the lights at his debut WCW match.
Yeah, that could be another WCW moment. Debut him with a loss.
Well, I feel like he was never supposed to be anything, though. Like, I feel like they just took him. He was one of those guys they took to
touch. But they gave him the time. They gave him an interview in the very first Nitro.
I think that was just for shock value, honestly. I think they were just trying to get another name to make a splash. Yeah. I think anyone could have been in that place with Luger. I think they wanted, like, two WWF guys so they could hammer it home.
Bring in all the IRS fans.
Yes. You're going to get that IRS demographic.
People who love to pay taxes.
Hey, JR was part of the IRS demographic.
That's right, I was. Big match coming up next.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Norton's head looks enormous compared to Macho Man's, doesn't it?
I was just thinking the same thing.
It definitely is enormous.
I don't know if this feud is as intense as the Savage Repo Man for my coat or my hat that we had on Raw.
Here we go. This Saturday night, Disco Inferno. Renegade versus Max.
Max Muscle? Is that what his name?
Yeah, very good.
Looks like Brockus.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Big Bubba
and Evad.
Evad. Can that be our most WCW moment? Just a picture of Evad Sullivan?
Oh, I want to see this match. Brian Pillman and Alex Wright.
There we go.
Stupid network should have this.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, every Saturday night ever should it be on.
And all the shows before and after it. Andy Griffith, the Hawks, every Hawks basketball game, everything.
I think all of TBS's programming should be here ever.
I just want to relive every moment of the 80s and 90s through the network. It should have everything. Rear everything ever.
Ever. On all networks.
All right, here comes Scott Flash Norton with his huge chest, his angry face, and his nice
weirdest tights
hair.
Ever, like the bottom, like, you know, the straps were so, like, low. Like, he just was, like, busting out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not used to seeing the straps that far apart either.
He's got those giant arms and such a tiny little tattoo on his arm, too.
That tattoo is actually huge. It just is.
Yeah.
It's tasteful.
It would fill up my entire back, I think.
I think Scott Norton stopped by that sign that said prescriptions before this match.
And here's Macho Man's debut Nitro match.
Might have got that tattoo at the Mall of America last week, actually.
Yes, right next to the flags.
Got the smoke machines going on full tilt here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were firing everything off. Pyro, and I'm surprised the Nicer didn't burn down.
I like Savage's tights last week better.
Yeah, I was thinking, very interesting color choice there.
Pretty
the
gold.
Hat doesn't like, really match anything
looks
else.
Like Bobby Heenan's shirt. The same,
man, it's like as the 90s progressed, Macho Man's tassels just metastasized.
He became one large tassel.
He's more tassel now than man. Very festive.
The twisted tassel man
and
Randy
bright.
Tassel man Randy Savage.
Tassel man.
Oh, lots of tales of tassels and sad tidings here.
Yes.
Should have had a Norton-Mongo match.
Right? Mm.
You are right, though. Was it you, JD, that said it, that Scott Norton has an abnormally large head? Or was that you, Willie?
Yeah. In the graphic where they just showed him face-to-face.
Yeah. But it even looks big here.
Yeah.
He's just pounding on Savage here. Choke slam or tree slam. Savage, a nice hip toss, though, coming back.
There we go.
He's surprisingly quick, Norton.
Mm.
Mm.
I got no issue.
Would you say cat-like?
I like how they didn't waste any time debuting these guys up. We had the vignette, they set the match, and now they're on. Like this week,
we tried to do a 360 flip on the clothesline. Yeah.
Well, we had Wall Street, Norton, and Luger all fighting on the show after debuting last week. They kind of kept it hot. You know, they kept the momentum going.
Yeah.
Norton catches Savage coming off the top rope, and interesting little squeeze there and throws him down.
Bear hug thing.
I thought he was going to toss him over his head. Is Norton one of those legit bad get like tough guys? Like I know I'm wrestling, obviously, but like
I think you mean like
Haku in a bar tough guy kind of thing?
Yes, thank you.
He looks it.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't get much argument from people that would.
You don't walk around in that singlet if you can't back it up.
Yeah, exactly. If you dare people to say something about you,
it is a very futuristic singlet. Savage just began his ass kick this whole match.
Always one of the best at selling, so good at putting the new guy over.
I actually remember Norton's finishing move, I think, was the shoulder breaker.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Norton was one of my favorite guys. I had one of those like EWR games in 96, 97. It was like the DOS version. And Vicious and Delicious, as we'll come across in the future.
I loved Vicious and Delicious.
They were like one of my favorite teams to use in those things, booking.
Huge powerbomb from Norton there.
Didn't he chain with Ice Train for a while too, like Fire and Ice?
Yes.
Fire and Ice, yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd use Norton a lot as my big guy in WCW versus NWO, those type games.
Oh, yeah, yep.
For Nintendo.
Yeah, I think Fire and Ice comes before Vicious and Delicious. Fire and Ice is soon.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that, Steve, because I actually tried to play that game today, but I can't find a remote in my house. I still have the N64 and the game.
Maybe you should have sent them all to them again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice show of power there. He like deadlifted Savage at press land. That was pretty impressive. Strong bastard.
Yeah, Savage is just selling like death right now.
He hasn't got much any offense since that
nice
hip
power
toss.
Slam. Norton's a beast. Dish off cream in his pants.
He's become one of my favorite early Nitro guys.
He's really good. I'm curious to see, I kind of know where his career goes, and I'm kind of curious to see it develop on these shows to see if they continue to use him fairly well. I mean, he's getting booked like a monster here.
Yeah, see how quickly it falls into the Ice Train tag team.
And jobbing a Nitro at everyone.
Yeah.
Nice jump and power. A shoulder block.
Well, I want to say he has a feud with a Giant, too, for a little bit.
I think so.
That might be in 96, though.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Got a bunch of people at ringside with those same Giant foam neon green hats.
Yeah, seems to
be that might be a 90s moment.
Seems to be the hot gift of this episode. Oh, nice hanging DDT.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Off the top rope.
Norton's been very impressive here.
Yeah, I don't know if this gets my match of the night, but I think it might get my individual performance of the night from Scott Norton. But on a power clinic. Goes up top, which is a mistake. Savage catches him and rams his face to the mat. Come on, Scott, what are you doing? You had him beat.
Another power bomb.
What? I don't know. Mongo is cute, I think. I was thinking about Rob. Like, who's worse, Mongo or Rob Bartlett? It's got to be Rob Bartlett.
I think so, yeah. Mongo's at least trying.
Yeah.
Come Shark and Kamala, the new age Twin Towers.
Oh, no. Large
here,
boys
and here's the, here's the melange of tools.
What was that?
So Shark, Norton runs into Shark, who knocks Kamala, and then Shark falls on Norton's legs. And Savage hits the big elbow for the pin. And here comes the Taskmaster.
Disaster.
With his spear.
What the hell is that thing? Looks like a broken off snow shovel.
Zoe, what a mess this thing is. Norton is not happy.
And ladies and gentlemen, our first taste of Nitro.
Yeah, what a shit ending to a really fun match.
former Starrcade main eventer Brutus Beefcake in the ring there.
I like Shark just like puts his hand around Norton's throat. That was pretty aggressive.
Oh my God. Yeah.
How many bar fights do you think Norton and Ming have gotten in together?
I know, right?
Oh, many. Whole bar.
Beefcake with a something about Mary here.
Thanks a lot for that image.
Hey, you got something on your ear, brother. Is that hair gel?
It's the Alfredo sauce from Pasta Mania.
Thanks also for that image.
I'll give this as a pretty innovative finish. I guess it keeps Norton kind of looking strong because he was clearly trying to kick up, but he couldn't.
Makes the referee look like an imbecile, though.
Yeah. Well, yes,
like, no, I don't think we need to ring the bell here. There's a giant man laying on his legs.
Like Kamala, we didn't break them.
Kamala falls backwards when it happens.
Main event time. They have not wasted any time on this show. Match, 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 match. Outside of that quick flare promo.
You think anything got cut in these? Like, you know, 1-800-COLLECTS or...
Looking at the time when we started, it seemed to be like 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think they did, Steve. Because they kept in the Saturday night promo. I mean, that would be something you'd think maybe they were cut.
Maybe all that stuff came in when they went to 2 hours.
I think so. I do. I think the 800 collect and the road report and all that shit was later.
I love these hour shows. Just
so easy.
Yeah.
They kept Vader in that promo, though.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, they weren't known for really keeping up to date with their
promo. Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm acting as if they're supposed to pay attention to that, yeah.
They're not re-editing everything every week like WWE does now?
Not even close. Months and months.
From Asheville.
Jesus. Well, they were talking about how they don't know where he is. That's all they were saying. That's how
they went AWOL. Yeah.
Where is he?
Kind of sad we didn't get one... Vader Nitro appearance, you know, just missed it.
Yeah.
Was he still in the open this week? I didn't even notice.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think
so. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he'll stay in the open till 99.
Yeah. Very optimistic fan with the match of the century sign.
Pretty interesting, though, that right off the bat, two Nitros. Two Hulk Hogan world title matches.
Yeah. I mean,
he had none on Raw in all those months he was champion. And already, 2 weeks, two matches.
Well, they needed a strike quick early on. And
yeah, I mean, they're going for it. They're definitely...
Yeah, they definitely weren't messing around here.
It's a big match. So I'm going to pull up the Raw card from that night while we're here.
I was just going to ask, the two world title matches, what is this opposite, a Damian Demento match?
Well, there was no
in 95, so
yeah.
There was no Raw the week before. So, let's see here. This week we had the British Bulldog defeated Razor Ramon by disqualification. The 1-2-3 Kid and Dean Douglas interfered. Smokey Guns defeated Rad Radford and the Brooklyn Brawler. Isaac Yankum defeated Scott Taylor. And Shawn Michaels beat Sid at 8 minutes with the 3 super kick. So this definitely is, if he hasn't said it yet, this is the Nitro where Bischoff says that. Shawn beats the big guy with 3 super kicks. I think he might say it right here.
It's kind of weird that that they didn't have a live Raw this week, considering they weren't even on last week.
It was taped 8/28, which was not even a live taping date. So it looks like they taped it weeks in advance. And that was the season premiere, where they had the Raw on the Roof open. That was the new, I think they did that last second, right? Because Luger bolted, so they wanted to change the look at everything with Nitro starting. I remember that being like a quick thing where they just pulled it together fast. And that was the debut of the Raw letters in the entranceway. So they overhauled the look. If you remember as well, that was during the brief period where Raw had a replay on Thursday nights. I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
No, I don't. No, I don't at all.
It was like Thursdays at like 10 or something they replayed it.
Hmm.
And they also had a weird thing where they would show, I remember being, it was really, because it completely tipped off that it was taped. They would show a highlight of the match. Like almost, you know, Primetime used to do that where they would show like coming up next. And they'd actually show like a quick, like the match, what it was, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I remember them showing a clip of the match to hype the match on those Raws, which is weird.
Yes, we've talked about that, JR. That did seem very strange. They kind of tipped their hand that they're not live.
I need to try and find this because I'm pretty sure they had the Raw replay. It was only like a couple of months.
You know, if you were to compare Hulk Hogan's skin color to a crayon, would it be? I would go with burnt sienna.
Yeah, I was
going to
go that too.
He is really dark.
Raw amber is too light, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's more like Sunset Mr. Nanny.
Because Luger's a tan guy, and look at how much darker Hogan is.
You know that Hogan like really worked hard on that during the week in between the first and second Nitros.
Yeah.
I'm helping you out here, Steve. I actually put the captioning on. So
yes,
in case something happens or whatever, we're in the middle of talking. Maybe I'll catch when they do the three super kicks.
I think they might have done it in that one match because that was when Mongo came in with the uncooked egg comment. And okay. I'm really interested to see if I haven't heard Bobby say anything about WWF, and I wonder if he purposefully abstains.
I think he does.
Yeah, he never says anything.
I don't think he wanted to risk it.
Yep.
Both guys, no selling suplexes in this one.
Fitting.
I was going to say, once again, Luger no sells, and Hogan immediately looks at the crowd like, what should I do?
I'm the only one that's supposed to no sell.
Should I hit him in this match? So could I talk him into losing?
I can't find anything off the bat on Google, but if anyone out there listening remembers that as well, let me know I'm not going crazy. I remember there being a Raw replay like later in the week. Because Nitro, they'd replay that night. And I remember it felt like they were trying to counteract it, but they would do it later in the week.
I loved when they did the replay for Nitro. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch one, tape the other.
Oh, yeah.
Or if
I was definitely a tape trader back then, and it made it way easier to tape both shows that way.
I think that's the most mid-90s thing.
Hmm. With taping stuff or tape trading?
Tape trading. Jordan's saying he was a big tape trader, so he'd tape both shows.
You know what's so funny is I remember I had to race home sometimes like to tape Sunday Night Heat, as if anyone would ever want a copy of a Sunday Night Heat.
Yes. Well, you still need them because they're not on the gold darn network.
If they were, they'd sell a million subscriptions.
Mm-hmm. They could triple the price if they put Heat on there.
Power Slam now coming up a torture rack for Luger because he's run out of moves.
Yep, and his butt cheek is exposed, so...
Racking him. Hogan really selling it, too. Luger getting a lot of shine. Look at that cheater Hogan holding out to Anderson's hand before he's going to call for the bell.
One does what one must.
nothing on Wikipedia either, JR, about...
I know what happened.
Luger thinks he won because he's a dummy.
That's Graham. Energetic match, too.
Well, Luger just realized, wait, pinning is a way you win matches?
Yeah.
Well, at this point, Lex probably hadn't won a match in about 4 or 5 months by this point. He wasn't doing so swell in WWF, if I remember.
No, definitely not.
Now, this I can get into. This is a pretty energetic Hulk up here.
Yeah.
The whole match has been very fast. And Hogan's been pretty impressive in these 2 weeks. I'll give him that.
Okay. He's like two of my least favorite guys.
he's not stopping to ask the crowd. He just goes straight into the leg drop, and then here's the goofs here.
So let me ask you about this match, though. So I feel like it was enough of a teaser, and they delivered on the match, but they didn't give enough of it away to make it not like a valuable rematch. I thought they actually did a good job of this.
Yeah, I agree. The real downside to it is that these are the guys that they have to send to run in.
Well, I think if they wanted to build to a rematch, though, they maybe should have had the dungeon attack when Hogan was getting wrecked and not after
we saw that
Lex couldn't beat him with it. Yeah.
Now, I am pretty certain that a fan ran in there to try to protect Hogan at ringside trying to
Glenn, put himself. Like, Glenn, were you in Miami in September of 1995?
I will neither confirm nor deny.
So Graham backs me up. He said it was either Wednesdays or Thursdays, but yes, it was the fall of 95. They rebooted it. They replayed it. So screw all you. So we follow the format from last week. We take a break and come back for a big chat in the ring. Hogan, Sting, Savage, Luger, and Jimmy Hart back at it. And I believe this is where they announce that Luger will step in for Vader.
This is the first of a long-standing tradition at Nitro of having your main event end in a massive run-in.
Yes.
Holy cow, Hogan, calm down.
He's been really fired up these 2 weeks. Yeah. His matches and his announcers, as promos.
Promos.
Calm down. This is important business.
Said Hogan questioning Luger, trying to see where he's coming from. They also did write off Vader, saying he did not qualify for the team.
Okay.
Macho Man also questioning Luger's loyalty and Sting standing up for him.
It's fun when you don't have the sound on. Like, I like to just assume they're all yelling at Lex for not being colorful enough with his ensemble.
Yeah. You're not going to blend in with this team, brother.
Black? Nothing but black?
You got to get neon something.
I don't trust this guy. He's not wearing neon Easter egg color pastels.
And he needs some tassels.
I just got rid of the tassels, man. So Savage, the crux here is he does not trust Lex Luger. Sting does trust him. Hogan doesn't know what to believe. Did Hogan cut his hair from last week?
I don't think.
Looks like maybe a little bit.
Looks a skosh. Looks a little slight trim.
By the way, that could be the most WCW moment. Sting trusts Lex Luger.
Yes.
Yeah.
There'll be some interesting awards for this one. I feel like nothing stood out as much as that opener.
No.
Yeah.
Savage is all fired up. It's amazing how heavy they were on the face side at this point. I mean, really. Mm-hmm. Flair was their top heel for the most part, and then Dungeon of Doom was just a real weak group. I mean, everyone makes fun of the Million Dollar Corporation 95. Like, Dungeon of Doom was way weaker when you look at the talent pool.
What's interesting is just looking at those four in the ring, that would be like a WWF versus WCW dream match. Sting and Luger against Hogan and Savage. Yeah. Did that ever happen? Like, that pairing? Like,
I don't
Sting
think so.
And Luger as a team?
Well, Sting and Luger do team up in 96, but I don't think they ever face Hogan and Savage.
Hogan and Savage, but that just personifies WCW versus WWF, I think.
No, we need them to fight Kamala and John Tenta instead. Mm-hmm.
These guys, they all smoked. They just, like, snorted crack before the segment.
I mean,
they're
I think
all over the place.
But I'm glad they're having, like, dissension and arguments, because if they were all just focused on the heels, like, it's no match. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they ran them off in seconds.
Right.
You know?
So, like, they needed some kind of tension here, at least to keep something interesting, because the heels are just all so piss poor and weak.
Yeah.
Like, Hogan's wasn't listening to the other guys talking, so he came back in with the same question that they already talked about.
I don't know what Sting you're voted, talking about, brother, but...
We call that the Reesh response.
Yes, it was the no-sell.
Very
sell.
Much the Reesh response.
Yes, the no-sell.
Sting voted yes, and Macho Man says, I respect that, but I have a question. And then said... If Dungeon of Doom is not on our side, why did they not attack Sting and Jimmy Hart?
Meanwhile, the announcers here in their cage with surrounded by black curtains. It looks like they're in the formless void.
Pepe is back. Pepe. Yep.
Is he wearing a sombrero? I think so.
Yes.
And he looks like he's high again. He's not even moving. Stuffed Pepe.
Mongo with his glasses out of the Gloria Vanderbilt collection.
I'm looking sexy, baby.
He is Anderson Cooper's father.
Big match next week, Mr. Wonderful against Johnny B. Bad.
Wow. Post fall.
Paul Orndorff was around this long.
Oh, yeah. The Nasty Boys on the main event before Fall Brawl. Taking on the American Males. I think it's one of their first matches. The Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Earl Roberts, and that brings an end to this week's edition of Nitro. So let's run through our categories. We had a match of the night. My vote goes to the opener, Sabu and Alex Wright. How about you, Willie?
I say the same, Sabu and Alex Wright. I was really surprised at how good and fun that was.
Donkey.
Yeah, I'll go same way.
Scotty.
I concur. It's a fantastic opener.
Glennie.
I'm going to go with Hogan again.
All right, you lose. So Sabu. Now our question is,
first time.
Is Sabu and Alex Wright better than Sting and Flair? So we need to, right? Because
yes.
We're doing an all-time match. So let's start with you, Scott.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Glenn.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Willie?
Yes.
Donkey?
Since it doesn't matter, I'll say no.
Okay. Well, always a fun contrarian. I will say yes. So our best match of Nitro, you're writing these down, Scott, right?
Yes.
Okay. So our best match so far in Nitro history, Alex Wright and Sabu. Most random appearance. I don't feel like we really had a true one.
We really didn't have one for this episode.
I mean, you can't really say Sabu because made the appearance of the name VK.
My most random appearance might be the spear.
It's Kevin Sullivan's
The broken off snow shovel.
All right, let's go with that. Kevin Sullivan's death spear.
That was about 8 feet long.
Yeah.
10 okay. feet if it was Hogan.
And I already don't remember. Did he not have it the second time he came out?
No, he did not. Okay. The second time.
Well, he impaled Doug Dillinger with it.
All right, most mid-90s person. I don't think we really had anyone in the crowd. I'd say, actually, how about the Savage hat? I think that was a good one. Most mid-90s thing. That green Savage hat.
Mm-hmm. That Gloria Stefan girl with the leather vest.
Mongo's glasses.
What do you think, Glenn?
That's a good one. I can go along with that. I'd also suggest Bobby Heenan's get up.
Yeah, Bobby would be my vote.
Okay, I'm down with that. Let's go Bobby's jacket. And most WCW moment. I think the I like the name change, the Michael to VK one weekend. The other one would be the ending of the main event being a DQ into a promo. How about Bischoff giving away the results? And all the shots.
That's a good one.
I've got another one. A match ending with a guy falling on another guy's legs, allowing him to be hit by a top rope elbow.
See,
and
I thought that was creative.
I
like that. I thought it was creative. Oh, you guys
doesn't have to be bad.
I like the name change.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the name change too.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay.
Even over the Bischoff results.
Could save that for another episode.
Shows their ineptitude.
Plus, we can use that for another episode because he does that for 5 years. So
okay, yeah. All right, we'll go with the.
Definitely do it in January of '99 when we get there.
Yes,
yeah,
we'll get there in 8 years. All right, so we'll definitely go with the Michael to VK switch. So, all right, quickly, final grade, Scott.
Okay, I will. This was just as good, but not nearly as good for me as the first one. I'll say 6.5.
Okay, JD? Glenn. Hey, I'm running the show.
Hey, I did this for the first episode.
I'm going to bust it down a little bit. I'm going to say like a 4.
Okay. JD?
You know, I feel bad now giving the first episode a 6. Because I feel like this is more like a 6 and the first episode was more like an 8. So considering this one was a drop off, I'm going to go to 4.5.
Willie?
I will say 6.
All right. I'll go 5.5. I thought it was still pretty good. Some good matches, no downtime at all, nothing dragged. The only thing missing was the atmosphere, I think, from the first episode. So maybe not as much storyline advancement as we had. This one definitely felt like they were killing time to the pay-per-view. It's like, it felt like they almost should have started the night after Fall Brawl. Like, I think they were in this awkward spot where they had 2 weeks of Nitros to build to a pay-per-view. They had already had the build begin. So I think we'll get the real reboot of Nitro starting next week after the pay-per-view.
So what was your
3 weeks in, we're going to reboot, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. What was your grade, JR?
5.5.
All right. So 6.5 and 4 is 10.5. And then 10.5 and 4.5 is 15. 21. 26.5.
I vote for this as the most Scott moment of the night, is always the adding of the math.
Go ahead. I was going to say, doing it on a slide rule.
20, let's see, abacus, click. 26.5.
5 plus 5.
All right, so let's call it a 5.5.
All right.
All right, so that brings an end to this episode and our kickoff of the Nitro Watch Parties. I think that's what we should call it, instead of live watch, because the Nitro Parties are always a thing. Yeah. So the Nitro Watch Party.
Maybe we get Lee Marshall to do one of these with us.
I think he's dead.
You know what? Never say never.
Yes. That's great! All right, so we are out of here. We'll be back Wednesday night, Scott, the main event. Do you want to announce your roundtable, or are we going to hold off?
No, I think I want to announce. Usually I like to save the guest for a surprise, but I'm too pumped about it because he's finally on. The Godfather, Nate Milton,
nice,
is going to be on Wednesday night on the main event. Of course, tri-host of the Kings of Sports. So he'll be on the main event with the guys on Wednesday. So.
All right, very good. And I'll be back. Kevin Kelly Show, episode, were we up to 17? 18?
Yes.
18. Episode 18. Dr. Tom Pritchard of the Heavenly Bodies and of Zip fame, of course, legendary career. He'll be joining us for an extensive interview. We're going to have a Ring of Honor guest as well, because the Kevin Kelly Show now also at ROHWrestling.com, so check us out there. For the abridged...
Will be ACH.
I don't know if we'll make it in time. You can visit that at the ROH Wrestling, has the abridged ROH-esque version of the show. For the full show, follow us on iTunes at PlaceNation.com as well. So, all right, and then Scott, next week is a little shaky for us. Got some work business early in the week. So we'll be back at the end of the week, either Thursday or Friday night. We'll be doing Judgment Day 2003.
Yes.
Will be in our next episode. So, for the boys, Glennie, Jordy, Dunkey, Stevie, Willie, Scotty, Crispy, and me, we're out. We'll be back. We'll talk to you next week. Take care. Nothing?
I was going to go to service merchandise when we're done here. I'm going to go hunt one down.
I was listening for Roger. Oh, wait. Wrong show.
You got a big laugh out of me at the end, Justin, because you said, it's great. And I thought you were doing a Mongo impression. Then I realized you were doing Lee Marshall and Tony the Tiger. It doesn't sound any different, your impression.
I don't know about that, baby. I'm going to get me some cereal. I'm hungry. Justin.